Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church in the heart of Belfast.
So here's the thing. Today I'm starting just a couple of weeks as we run up to Christmas. It is good to see you. And if you are sick at home today, bait the communion into you when we come around to that, and you'll be as right as rain. We had a lot of people sick, actually, so it's that time of year, isn't it? You know, it's funny. Can I just say something at the start? Penny and I went into town yesterday, as you do, and it reminded us why we never want to go into town, because it's horrific, right? But we ended up, there's a couple of things really annoyed me. I'm just going to say this. Just get them off my chest at the start. Is this okay? Is this all right? You ready for this? People who don't take a vaccine are not your enemy. Can I just say that? 100%. If you've got the vaccine, knock it into you sideways, all right? Brilliant. Boost yourself to them. I don't care, all right? Quite frankly, do what the Lord tells you. But see this narrative that people who don't have a vaccine, that there's something wrong with them, and they're the enemy, and they need to be separated from us like some kind of lowlife. That's just from the pit of hell. Can I just say that? And so, listen, you listen to the Lord and do what the Lord tells you to do. And nobody else. And nothing else. And if you want a vaccine, you don't want a vaccine. You know, I believe Psalm 91, you're safe under the shadow of his wings anyway, all right? You could stuff yourself full of whatever, all right? And like your faith's not in a vaccine. Can I just say that? Your faith's in Jesus, who heals you of all diseases. And the word says, you know, like thousands may fall, 10,000, whatever. Do you know what I mean? But we are safe. That is the gospel of grace. But I felt uncomfortable with this kind of, this increasing separation, even in God's people. That is not anything to do with the Jesus that we love and we serve. He didn't come to divide people based on, you know, being coerced into anything, but he came to bring people together. And so just guard your heart against that, right? Because we walked into the middle of a big mad protest yesterday, which was crazy. And, you know, it was like, it was all the anti-vaxxers, going crazy. And then all these other people stand there going, oh, they're going to kill us all because I haven't had a vaccine. And so I was like, what's going on? And then what happened? Does anyone remember my story of going to Avoca? Do you know where Avoca is? In the center of town. Remember the £8 quiche? Well, let me tell you something. We're on a whole different level, all right? So not only am I going to say this about vaccines, but Avoca. So Penny said to me, let's go somewhere. Quite frankly, I wanted to go for something different, but because there were, we just couldn't get in. So the point is, right, so we went to Avoca. I queued for 30 minutes while Penny sat on her backside reading the Bible, probably, right? And because they were so badly organized, then it got up there after 30 minutes of queuing, and you know how much? Two coffees and a chocolate brownie, £11.45. What? £5 for a chocolate brownie, and nearly chucked it at the woman. I was like, what? What is going on? Whole town's going crazy with people with placards. I've had to wait half an hour. Now you're charging me a fiver for a chocolate brownie. What is going on? Jesus, come back quickly. It was lovely. Now I'm not going to deny it. But a fiver? Seriously? I just reminded myself, that's why we don't go into town. Isn't that crazy? £5. £8 for quiche, but that was about 10 years ago. Goodness knows what it is now. But it reminded me why I don't go to these places. If you're watching online, it's a place in posh place in Belfast. It's horrific. So anyway, to the word. Should we get to the word? I feel better now because during worship I was just upset about these things and I had to get them off my chest. I'm calling the next 2 weeks as we run up to Christmas against all odds. Does anyone remember that song? How can I just let you walk away? Oh, come on. Bit of a Phil Collins fan. But it made me think actually that these times that we're living in, particularly as we come up to Christmas, I listen to that song every Saturday when I'm making dinner for the family. Did I just drop that in? And so whenever I'm chained to the kitchen and making Penny her dinner, she lies snoring on the sofa. And what happens is I play Phil Collins and various kinds of 80s music because it's a musical journey. You just don't know where you're going to end up. But it normally ends up with Phil Collins singing this and me feeling quite morose after my dinner. But no, I'm just joking. I love it. But it made me think, actually, this week, if we look at the way the world is going and what's happening in the world, you know, it's almost unrelenting, isn't it? Let's be honest. You just think you're getting your head up and like a whack-a-mole. And remember those things? We whack-a-moles, you just whack, and every time you think you get your head up, somebody's going to whack you with the whatever variant, the Newton Abbey variant's next, you know what I mean? The Newton Orange variant's going to kill us all right? But that was way before COVID, let me tell you, all right? The bugs come out of that place. But the thing is, right? That's laughing. but you know what I mean? It's like, it's whack-a-mole. And I just thought, it's like, you know, incredibly, it seems unrelenting. And I thought about, you know, there's a calendar, obviously, as believers that, you know, that we go through, and we're coming up to, you know, with Christmas and Easter. It's like, I just really felt that the Spirit of the Lord said to me, look, it kind of feels like against all odds for some of you, you're going to see the goodness of God. Amen. Do you hear me? Amen. Against all odds. You're going to stick in your head. But I want to speak about that because there's two people in they're part of the Christmas story, but they're actually just after the Christmas story. But I'm going to weave them into the beginning of the Christmas story. We find out about them in Luke chapter 2. And so there's, honestly, this morning, there's nothing like you're going to go, oh my goodness, that's incredible revelation, but because there's not. I didn't feel that this week. I didn't feel like I could have gone mad deep into some stuff, and I just thought, I'm not going to do that. Because actually, what I looked at yesterday, there was two things that happened. There was people shouting at the anti-vaccine people. Then in Corn Market, there was women shouting at pro-life people. And, you know, just this anger and vitriol, and I was thinking, this is wick. This is absolutely wick. This is not what this season is about, right? Shouting and bawling and yelling and getting on and division. And I just thought, man, this is, we need a different view of this. And we need to see that right now, that the story that we're just about to get into with Jesus is one of hope. It's one of hope. It's one of expectation for your future. That no matter what has come, right? That in this story, I think that in this world that we live in, like not only that there's no hope, or it feels like there's no hope, but when there's no hope, you see separation. Because when there's nothing to bring us together and there's nothing to unify us, to coalesce us, right? Then what happens is, and we do that around Jesus and his work, Jesus and his mission, Jesus and his purpose. Then what happens is everyone just scatters and it's now me against you. And we've got to be different. Because I'm absolutely convinced that in these days, these are times where God is going to heal broken hope. Do you get that? And we all know what broken hope looks like. So shall I speak into that? Shall we go to Luke chapter 2? If you're watching online, make sure you drop us a wee note and say hello, wherever you're from. Not that anyone's going to look at it, but it's just kind of interesting. Not in the room, I mean, somebody's bound to be looking at it. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, right? So we're 8 days after he's born, but go with me because I'll weave it back in next week. The name the angel had given him before he was conceived. Remember that Penny was talking about that last week. Jesus presented him in the temple. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon. Here's our first guy today. He was righteous and he was devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. Now, obviously, this is before the cross, so the Holy Spirit being on him is what happened before the resurrection. So he wasn't full of the Holy Spirit, like we can be baptized in the Holy Spirit, but the Spirit of the Lord rested on him. Two different. Sometimes we get people go, well, how did that happen before Jesus? But it was two different things, right? And so it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Let me ask you something before we get to the end of this as I keep reading. One of the things that hope is birthed in is those moments where the Lord reveals something by his Holy Spirit that changes your heart. Do you get that? Simeon, we're going to see, had something that he had received from the Lord for himself, for his life. It had been put in him. It had been conceived in him by the Spirit of the Lord. And what happened was that for him, it was he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. I want to ask you to think even this morning, what is the Lord trying to birth in your heart, conceive in your heart? That you will not die before you see this thing happen. Because what we're going to see is the hope that we have is not a hope just for tomorrow. It's a hope for all time. The hope that the Lord places in your heart and the hope that the Lord conceives in you, the promise that he shows you, are not just about getting through next week. It's about giving you something that you can hold on to all of your days. It is a long-term view of God and his goodness, Jesus and his finished work, that through the ups and downs of life, through the ins and outs of life, through the comings and the goings and everything else in between, that God divine moment where you know that he spoke to you, said it, and conceived it in you, that will hold you as an anchor through difficult times. Amen. So let me come back. That's not even my notes. That's just me going off on one. £5 for a brownie. Jesus. I need heal this morning. Never mind anything else. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace." Isn't that crazy? Right? As you have promised, you may now dismiss me. What a thought for your life, right? Can you imagine on that day? You see, the world will have you thinking that you're going to pop your clogs tomorrow because of the Newton Abbey variant, that somehow, somewhere, somebody's going to say something to you, and or you're going to meet somebody and they're going to touch you and then you're going to... Blah, blah, blah. And you know what? I see here, when God births something in your heart, when he puts a promise in your life, there is nothing, no one, no thing on the earth, above the earth, beneath the earth, that will ever rob you of seeing its fulfillment in your life. Do you hear me? I want you to say this morning, Lord, not 1 minute before my time will I be dismissed, Lord, but whenever I have seen the promise that you said over me, spoke over me, conceived in me by the Holy Spirit, only then, Lord, when I have seen that fulfillment, will I be ready to see you face to face. Amen? Amen. That is what the Lord is saying. That's grace this morning. Oh, okay. Then Simeon, what did he... Well, I've lost my place. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. I just thought that was so cool. I'm going to come back to it, right? Now, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed him and said to Mary his mother, "The child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. He's the Messiah. And a sword will pierce your own soul too." To be a sign, okay. Then there's also a prophet, Anna. Let's go to verse 36. Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage. And I remember in those days, probably got married early teens. Okay, so, because Mary probably would have been just a kid in our eyes, probably a young teenager. So 7 years. So probably we're looking at, you know, it says here that she was a widow until she was 84, right? So that's probably a long time. It's probably 60-odd years, right, of being a widow. She never left the temple, but she worshipped night and day, fasting and praying, coming up to them at that very moment. And she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. And so I just want to draw a couple of lessons for us this morning as we get into this season. And I honestly think, not to be the prophet of doom, because that's certainly not me, but I kind of think that we've got some choppy water to go through in the world out there. I actually don't think that the trajectory at the minute is going to be that all things will be back to anything remotely normal anytime soon. But do not be afraid about that. Can I just say that? Don't be afraid. You see, Simeon was an old man. He was probably about 113. That's what people say, right? And he was waiting for the Messiah who would come and rescue Israel. Now, he would have heard all about the teachers, because he's in the temple. He would have heard all the teachers talking about Messiah. Remember, their whole life, the whole of history for the Jews was for this one who would come, who would deliver them from bondage and sickness and slavery and restore to them. And their idea, of course, was a mighty warrior who's going to come out of the heavens in a cloud of glory and deliver them from everything. But Jesus comes as a wee baby. He comes as a wee baby. And what happens is, what's amazing for me as I thought about Simeon, was there was something in him, this thing that the Lord had put in him. There was thousands of people who would be coming through the temple every day of every week. It was massive. There was thousands of children who had gone through this ceremony, but right in the middle of the crowd, right? Right, what's the picture? The picture is, like, it's mad busy. It wasn't like Simeon was sitting there and he sees them coming up, like, towards him with baby Jesus with the glow, right? There he is. Oh. Nothing like that. Just imagine the city hall yesterday, tens of thousands of people, right? Thronging, pushing. You know, kids all look the same, don't they? I mean, they kind of do to me. You know, they're all like, same as that. 8-year-old kids, like, all look like Winston Churchill. That's the truth, right? And that's a wee joke, right? But they do all look like Winston Churchill. Can you imagine trying to sort them out, right? Like, is that your one? Is that your one? All that sort of stuff. I guess what the point is in Simeon, that's why I was not allowed to look after babies when I was young. Penny looked after them in case I lost them. But the thing is, the thing is, right, what's the picture? The picture is in the middle of life and busyness and craziness and, like, all of this stuff that's going on and will be going on, Simeon recognized God in the middle of it all. Yeah. The circumstances didn't rob him of seeing the fulfillment of the promise that had been spoken over him. Why? He had a heart that was tuned to the Lord. He was righteous and devout. It says the Holy Spirit rested on Simeon. So Simeon, in one sense, was obedient and trusted God. And by faith, he trusted and believed that the word that God was speaking over him. I suppose what I'm trying to say is, I believe that the word of grace for you at this time is get a vision of Jesus that will hold you and sustain you in the middle of busyness and distraction and words and everything else. Because if you don't do that, there's no neutral. You will buy into another narrative other than the narrative of what Jesus is revealing to you. Simeon had a vision. It was given to him by God. I suppose the thing, what I'm saying is, this is not what's like Oprah Winfrey, what's your, what's your view of your life? 5-year plan, woohoo, wise up. How do you see Jesus in these days? What are you seeing and what's he saying to you? What's he revealing to you? Are you going from week to week feeding off everything and everyone else? Predominantly feeding from other things, because there was no way Simeon would have lasted that long with thousands, hundreds of thousands of children passing before him. He would have tapped out to go, "Oh, you must be joking. It's impossible. How am I supposed to spot God in all this?" But there was something deep in him, given to him by the Holy Spirit, to go, "You're gonna see my promise. And you'll not be dismissed until you've seen it." Notice it didn't say Simeon had heard the word from the people teaching. He had heard it because he was around the temple. It was what the Lord revealed to him himself. Can I really encourage you? There will be so much opportunity for people and things and everything else to form you, shape you, speak into you, to try to tell you what the right way of it is. But get a vision of Jesus and his finished work for you. His promise above all that will hold you like an anchor when everything else blows. Because that was the only difference. When we read he was righteous and he trusted God and he was obedient, that's what Jesus has done for you today. Jesus has put you in that place through his finished work. His grace is big enough for your ups and downs. It's big enough for your mistakes today. It's big enough for the days where you feel like, I don't even know whether I'm stuffed or mounted, quite frankly. You know, it's big enough for the days where you walk out of a Belfast coffee shop having felt like you had your pocket picked, right? By some angry Lithuanian who could just about throw the coffee at me. She was having a bad day, God love her, all right? But you know what I mean? I did give her a good tip. I'm going to say that, Penny, I did give her a good tip. But you know what I mean? Like on those days where you go, what am I doing? What the flip's sake? Get me home. He let it go. But there was something in him. There was something in them. Do you know what my fear is? Can I say this fear? Is that we hear grace upon grace upon grace every week. But we need to actually sit and rest and allow the Lord to really show us Jesus and who he is. you can't live off my revelation or Pastor Prince's revelation or my Aunt Aggie's revelation. It's that moment that you, I would love to know what it was, what changed in Simeon that day when the Lord revealed to him that he wouldn't die until he saw the consolation of Israel. I'd love to know what that was like. That thing that keeps you going. That thing that just, it's not that it drives you. The world will say, get a vision that drives you. The Lord says, let me put something in your heart that will pull you. That's the difference. I talk to business people all the time, and so if I get something that drives you, that pushes you towards, I go, that sounds like real hard work to me. You know, and depending on your mental toughness or strength or whatever, will depend whether or not you can do that. But the Lord says, no matter who you are, I have made you righteous. Now let me set Jesus in front of you. And what does the word say? The Lord's continually drawing us to that place of fulfillment. Does that make sense? Okay, and so far I'm on page one of my notes. This could be a two-weeker. So, you know, have you ever thought what would have happened if Simeon had got fed up and left the temple the day before? Wouldn't that have been really frustrating? I think some of us this morning need to hear this, okay? It's not hang on. That's the world. It's understand the Lord's hanging on to you, so don't let go of him. Do you get that? He's holding on to you right now. His arms are strong, protecting you. There are people who think, sod it, I'm out of here. I'm going to tap out. Right? Lord, you said it. Well, I think you said it. But here I am, and it's like 5 years later. For some of us, it's 10 years later, and I still haven't seen it. Right? Did you really say, God? What's really happening, God? Will you really, you know, and, you know, people who, I want to speak to people this morning who've got weary in the waiting. God has promised you, but you haven't seen it come to pass yet. You're discouraged and you need help this morning. Can I just say this? God never lies to you. He's never said a lie to you in your life. And I think that's one of the things that will sustain you through 2022. As the Lord draws you every day and draws you to your purpose, draws you to a place of fulfillment, is understanding that no matter what comes and goes, the hope that's in us, right, is not a hope that is built on anything else other than the absolute surety of Jesus and who he is. It's his grace that holds you. It's his arms that support you. And if you've been tired in the waiting, I just want to tell you this. You know, he will keep his promise. And ask the Holy Spirit himself to show you every day, what Jesus, you know, that area of your life and what Jesus' promise for you is in that area. Because he's going to draw you to it every day. And he's going to set a hope up in your life that draws you even when everything else is pulling against you. And it's not for the next week. It's not for the next 6 months. It's for the next 60 years. Do you hear me? There's too much in the narrative of the world right now, which is panic today, you've no hope for tomorrow, okay? And we as believers cannot be pushed around like that because that's not the hope that we have, right? Believe you me, see when this COVID thing's done, there's gonna be something else. It's big business, this stuff. I'm absolutely convinced from media to whatever, this stuff works. Keep people controlled, coerced, and all the rest of it. This is business. This is just, you know, and so let's not, you know, think that in the world it will be back to something. It's going to be something else, right? And I kind of go, whatever, whatever. Remember that? Whatever. Who was that, Catherine Tate? Never watched it. Penny used to watch it and tell me about it. Did you say Penny shouldn't watch that? If Christians wouldn't watch that, but she couldn't get her away from the TV. Whatever. I kind of thought to myself this week, when I was just thinking about Simeon going, that is so cool. Lord, put something in my heart today that 20 years from now, even if I haven't seen the fulfillment of it, I will know that I know that I know because you said it to me. I don't want to be pushed. Who is tired of feeling like you're a football in somebody else's game? Being pushed from pillar to post and this and that and the other. And the Lord says, no way. Get a vision of my grace in your life. Get a bigger view of Jesus and his finished work. Get a view of what grace promises you. Let me reveal that deep on the inside of you, that great big North Star of my finished work. And it doesn't matter what's going on out there. You will walk every day until you see the fulfillment of my promise in your life. You get that? Some of us need to lift our heads up this morning. Then there's Anna. I need to go quick. Anna, all right? Anna is amazing. She's 84, and she's been widowed for like forever, really. And what's interesting for me is both of these people. When you look at Simeon and you look at Anna, I think that when we think about it, Penny and I were listening to something this morning, and it was actually on this story, and you didn't know that I had prepared this story, you know, because we don't really talk much. That's a joke. That we do talk a lot, but I hadn't talked about this. But it was somebody actually preaching on Simeon and Anna, and he was making the point of going, you know, what the plan of the enemy is to get your attention and your attention and your heart onto something less so that you miss out on what God's promising for you. That's all it is, just complete distraction. And it made me think, because Anna, I mean, what we're doing is we're looking at people towards the end of their days. And I look at them and I go, how did they do it? Anna, what's really interesting, she suffered this really big setback early on, right? And so it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like it was easy. You know, losing your husband in those days really early was a big deal. And here we see her in her 80s after 60 years of worshiping God in the temple. And do you know what? The Lord just spoke to me on this one. And it's for somebody today to go, as we get into this Christmas story, and it is about hope. Anna, at one point, made a decision that her past would not dictate her future. Amen. Somebody going to receive that this morning? Do not let your past dictate your days to come. Because she had made up her mind that no matter what happened to her, she would worship the Lord. She would put the Lord first. That despite her setbacks, despite her disappointment, despite the fact that things had not turned out the way that she had, it wasn't the end for her. She didn't kind of go, oh, for goodness sake, God, whatever. It actually, her decision was, I will give you my heart every day. And the Lord sustained her through decades. And what's really interesting here is that she decides to be a worshiper, to give her heart, her mind, and her soul in the worship of God, right? We don't need to go to a monastery to do that, or like she was in the temple, that was easy. It's about this decision to go, despite my setbacks, that is not determining what tomorrow's going to look like. And what happens? She sees the fulfillment of the promise. You're going to see it. There are people today who in your life and they don't know Jesus, and you've prayed for them for years. And you're thinking of tapping out and going, I'm stopping praying. The Lord says, can you go back to that moment where I showed you? And you might go, well, did you really show me, Lord? Was that just me? Was it, you know, but there's something where you go, I know that the Lord put in my heart that they would come to faith. It might be your husband, it might be your wife, it might be your kids, your family. Don't tap out. Have a heart that worships the Lord. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you that promise and believe today that you will not be dismissed until you see that's fulfillment, despite what's going on. Maybe it's in your sickness today. Maybe it's a disappointment over a failed relationship. Maybe it's condemnation from whatever. I don't know what it is. But one thing is for sure, whatever the setback, whatever the difficulty, whatever the pain, whatever the disappointment, whatever the condemnation. At Christmas time, what these two show me is, it is possible. These things are written so that we might have faith and believe. Remember John chapter 20? These things are written to encourage us to go, if you think you're not going to make it, right? Anna and Simeon were not super people. They were just normal people with a promise revealed, right? And a heart set to worship. Isn't that lovely? I thought, Lord, I think I, you know, can I do that? Well, even if I can't, you can. Can I just take some time with you, Lord, some moments with you, just to look at Jesus and what his work means, to look again at the message of your grace, to receive that message of righteousness, to receive that message that I am absolutely loved forever perfectly, that I am whole and healed and complete, that there's nothing lacking in my life. Spirit of the living God, would you reveal that to me? Right? And from that point, all I'll do is I'll turn my heart to worship you. Yeah. And the Lord says, on that, I will draw you to a place of fulfillment, no matter what the circumstances are. Busyness, life, distraction, pain, setback, condemnation. You know, I almost feel like prophetically speaking over you guys, you're going to be Simeons and Annas. Do you hear me? The enemy has tried to say to you, you're not going to make it. You're not going to see it. You're not included in God's big plan. You might have been, but you screwed it up and now you're done. Can I just say the Spirit of grace says over you today, you will not be dismissed until you have seen his goodness in the land of the living. And the church said, amen. Isn't that a good word? I love that word. Well, I'm encouraged. I think I might get saved. That's a joke. That is a total joke, all right? If you're watching online, if you're watching online, you need to be here in the room. Isn't that right? Goodness sake. Can I just take one moment to speak about broken hope? Is that okay? Because you don't need to live for very long to know something of hopelessness. That sort of desolating sense that we sometimes have that some aspect or some bit of our life can never really be fixed. I think Christmas is such a brilliant time for this. For many of us, day in and day out, you know, brokenness, disappointment with God, disappointment with others has turned us from that place, hasn't it, of going, like, you know those moments of nothing's impossible with God. Yes, come on, we're going to be the generation. All right? Into this kind of, like, real life weary sort of nothing's ever going to change. This is it. This is my lot. Now, you might never voice it out loud. It might just bang around in your head. It might jump up at those unexpected moments. But many of us, this is what I felt the Lord wanted to minister into you today. Many of us really do know, and it's okay. This is why I love grace. We can talk about this stuff and still know that we're loved. That many of us have come to expect that actually God doesn't or won't answer my prayer or the desire of my heart. Like I've said, it could be, you know, death, loss, sickness, broken marriage, broken ministry. No matter what, it never seems to work. You get that feeling? It just never seems to click. Perhaps it's just your soul is broken. You know, you're hurt, you're disappointed. At times, you know, I felt in my own life, it's like where darkness drives out the light. And I know it should be the other way around. Anyone? Light drives out darkness. Amen. Has anyone ever experienced darkness driving out light? Is that too? Now, I know that the light will never, you know, the darkness will never overcome the light in me. But sometimes my soul tells me something different. Just being really honest, okay? And in the wreckage, I think, of that kind of brokenness, some of us can feel justified in taking a view of our life, like almost like a hopeless view of our life. And, you know, I've even heard people, like in sickness as an example, where hopelessness actually becomes being called real. Actually, this is realism. So it's not hope and faith, it's realism to look at somebody who's sick and go, they might never be better. We need to be realistic. I just want to encourage you, the Bible has loads of realists, right? Real cynical people, real cynical characters. And cynicism is the killer of hope. The Bible has its Sarahs as an example. You can read this, and this is where you can take hope for yourself. Sarah laughed at God's promise. Like, who are you kidding? Wise up. Like Elijah, he just cracks me up. Elijah did crazy stuff, right? The whole fire from heaven thing and all that. But he was the most depressed guy ever. He was like, yeah, oh no, it's all awful. Like very, very quickly. He runs from like seeing God do incredible things, which we would, if we had 1% of what Elijah saw, I guarantee you, I'd be writing the best-selling books and doing every conference in the world, you know what I mean? And people would be going, oh my goodness, look at this guy. He's incredible what God has done, right? That's what would happen in 2021. But old Elijah, he flipping prophets of Baal and all the rest of it. And then he's wanting to end it all. Infamy, infamy. They've all got it, infamy. You know, and all this stuff going on. Crazy. Anyway, I digress. Like, the thing is, despite what God does, he only has eyes for God's enemies. Right? What about Thomas's? They just, you know, down to he just resigned himself to death. Right? But more than that, right? I just want to say that the spirit of what's going on right now, let's not lock eyes with fundamental brokenness out there. Let's not put that brokenness on the same level. Size it up, right? and go, that fits me. I think we need to be different than that. I think the Lord send you, as you go into 22, be a wee bit different, right? Like, so for Sarah, there's Abraham, Romans 4:18. Abraham looks at his barren wife. And it says, in hope he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations. I'm confronted with this, but you said this. And so he hopes. In Ruth, remember, we just finished a series in Ruth. She turns from a dead husband and no future. She goes to a new country and tells Naomi, no matter where you go, I'm going to go with you. And I've already preached that one over weeks. Look at what God does. In Habakkuk, you know, that favorite book of ours. I was just going through all the cynics in the Bible. Habakkuk, you know, I love this guy. The Babylonian hordes, if you don't know the story, they're basically coming to kill him and kill everyone else. If you ever read Habakkuk, it's quite gruesome. So they're all coming. So what does he do? He sings. It's brilliant. He sings, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. I love it. Micah, he collapses under the weight of his own mess, his own sin, if you know the story. But he boasts, when I fall, listen to me, when I fall, I shall rise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. So I guess what I'm trying to say is each one of these people knew this tension, standing almost neck deep in their own brokenness and impossibility. Like that tension between what's actually going on and their seemingly hopeless circumstances and situations. And yet what happened, there was something in them. There's two things. They chose to hope that God, as it says in Romans 4:17, would give life to the dead and call into existence the things that do not exist, all right? There was something in them that God had put something in here through his Holy Spirit, and like Habakkuk, they turned their hearts to worship and they saw the deliverance of God. If your hope's broken today and you're finding it hard to trust the Lord, can I just really encourage you? The remedy and the healing for that is not this. It's not locking eyes with the brokenness of the world and adopting that same spirit. You've got the spirit of grace, the spirit of Jesus in you today. He's bigger than your brokenness. He's bigger than your disappointment. He's not put off by the thoughts that go like a hurricane at times through our hearts and our heads, that we would be ashamed of anyone else if we actually voiced these things because we're good Christians, right? You need to know that you are pre-approved, pre-loved. The only judgment of you today is the way that he judges Jesus, which is perfect and complete. That is grace. Don't allow the brokenness of yesterday to determine what you're going to do tomorrow and what God's going to do in you. But as we get into Christmas, as we get into this period of time, I'm going to finish here. Get into this, it's only half my talk, is that okay? I've run out of time anyway, so here we go. As we get into this period of time, I think in the hustle and the bustle of it all, think like Simeon, right? It's crazy stuff going on. Thousands of people, busyness, distraction, all the rest of it. My prayer for you is that you will find Jesus in the middle of it all. Some of you in a way that you've never found him before. You might go, I have no idea what that's going to be, but have an expectant heart that the Lord is going to put something in you at this time that is going to sustain you, not just 2022, but for the next 22 years. I believe that's the work that the Lord's doing in you now. Because some of us, he says, you know, if that disappointment is under the surface, that broken hope, right? The Lord says, let me heal that. Let me speak into that. Let me do something in you that will cause you to be drawn towards that place. And just like Simeon, one day you're going to go, I've seen it. Now I'm done. How cool is that? You'll not be taken before your time. You'll not have to fight like the world fights. But I think that is the promise of God for his people. I'm praying that the Lord comes back before then. That's just my own thing, right? I think that'd be very cool to see. All right. However, if he doesn't, but I kind of think there is last day stuff. I mean, you'd have to be half crazy not to have a look around the world and go, this is just a wee bit sort of, I'm not going to that. But you know what I mean? But I think that for some of us, it's not a promise. That day where you go, I saw it, now take me home. I'm dismissed. I go, yes. Amen. To close your eyes, let me pray for you. Father, I want to thank you this morning that in this place and for everyone who's watching online, that you're ministering into us for this place of broken hope. Lord, I thank you that Christmas is a time of hope. It's a time, Father, where we can understand that the hope that you put in us, Lord, those moments where the Spirit of the Lord speaks to us, it's not just about desiring good for the future. It's about actually building expectation in us. Lord, I speak a spirit of expectation over this church. A confident spirit, Lord. A certain spirit. That the promise that you have spoken over every individual, over us collectively, Lord. Father, the good that we expect and desire, it is done in Jesus' name. Father, I speak that confident expectation and desire, Father, over these days and over the days to come. Father, where there has been doubt and brokenness and hurt, Lord, where there has been uncertainty, we speak confidence, expectation, and certainty right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we're not crossing our fingers. Hoping in you is not crossing our fingers and trusting in any other system. But Father, it's the heart that goes, because you spoke it to me, because you put it in me, because you showed me Jesus and his grace and what that means for me, I, from that place, I will expect big things from God. I will expect great things from God in my husband, in my wife, in my children, in my business, in my body. I will expect great things. I'm going to anticipate with pleasure. That's what it means in the New Testament. The word elpis means that I'm going to anticipate that day, Lord. You know, and it's not one day. Simeon had his one day. I should have said this earlier. He had his one day. But you know what the word of the Lord is? Under grace, right? He says, this is the day of the Lord's favor. This day and every day is the day of the Lord's favor. Where we wake up, we set our hope, it says in 1 Peter 1:13, we set our hope fully on what? On us, on the world, on a vaccine, on anything. It says, no, set your hope fully on the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus. So I speak that revelation over your lives today. This week, a new revelation of Jesus, a new revelation of his grace for you, a new revelation of his finished work for you, that you would this week would see that in your heart and you would set your hope there on Jesus and his work. Amen. So, Father, we thank you for your word. This morning, we're going to take communion. Could somebody bring me one up? Is that okay? So take communion in your hands. Communion is a gift. Communion is a gift given to us by the Lord. It's to remember Jesus and what he's done. If you're sick this morning, right? Okay, what I want you to do is, this is collective faith. It's not just individual faith. So why don't everybody stand to your feet, okay? Stand to your feet. Get you moving. Take this in your hands, okay? And if you're sick anywhere in your body today, I just want you to put your hand on that place, all right? I just want you to put your hand. If you're standing beside someone, okay, and they're comfortable with it, just lay your hands on them if they're going, I'm sick and I need some help this morning. Because we're going to take this in faith and expectation, right, of God's healing and wholeness today. Because by his stripes, the word says, we're healed. Amen. So Jesus, we take this bread in our hands, Lord, and we say thank you that you are our healer. Thank you, Jesus, that from the very tips of our toes to the crown of our head and everywhere in between, we are whole and healthy and healed in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, that we are protected from every virus, every sickness. Father, that as your people, Lord, it will not touch us. Father, we believe that in faith today. Lord, that we can stand today, and it might seem really ludicrous to even people to hear that, but, you know, it's like the word said that Jesus and what he said would be a stumbling block people would find it hard because the narrative of the world is just, well, it's human wisdom, right? But Father, we thank you that you are a supernatural God above every natural system. So we eat today saying thank you for health and wholeness. Amen. And Father, we take the cup. Covenant of your grace written in your blood, Lord. One drop of your blood, Lord, enough to make us righteous forever. And so, Father, we take this morning knowing, Lord, that you are the one, Lord, who has made us righteous. Not our performance, not our obedience was not the thing that made you pleased with us, Lord. It was the obedience of Jesus, which is given to us as a gift. That gift of righteousness. We put on righteousness this morning, Lord. And Father, we thank you. One of the things that the blood of Jesus does is it says in the word that every curse is broken. Can I just say, sickness is a curse, condemnation is a curse, lack is a curse. Everything that is written in curse under the law has been broken by the grace of Jesus. And it's all given to you through this one act of him pouring out his blood. So we drink this morning, Lord, and we say thank you and amen. We'll actually just finish up here. Let me just close your eyes. I'm going to pray for you as we go. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this word this morning, Lord. I just pray that I just have that sense as we're taking communion, a fresh revelation of Jesus over you, a fresh revelation of Jesus in your homes, a fresh revelation of his work for you. I pray, Holy Spirit, that as we go from here today and as we're finishing up online, Jesus, that for everyone who is listening today, Father, that even things that have been words that were spoken over them, words that they received from you that they have not yet seen the fulfillment of, we just speak hope over those lives. Thank you that you're watching over your word, Lord, that your timing is perfect, that there's not a misstep in your kingdom. You're never late, Lord. You're never early. You're always bang on time. And so, Father, I pray that in the waiting, Lord, we speak against weariness. We speak fresh hope. We speak fresh healing. We speak fresh confidence in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said, amen. Are you encouraged this morning, church? Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand this morning. If you're watching online, it's been brilliant to have you with us. We look forward to seeing you in the room next week. I'll be speaking on probably something to do with this. But thanks for watching. Tea, coffee next door, folks. Go grab one. Oh, Christmas decorations as well. Make sure you help with those. I think people know what they're doing. But thanks for coming along, and we will see you next week. Thank you.